scientist to figure out who she thought was at the door.
What if it's Richard?
So what? We didn't do anything wrong.
But I didn't tell him about us. You showed up the other night on my doorstep and said you were leaving town. I'm pretty sure that raised his suspicion enough. If he finds you here, he'll think something is going on between us.
I was suddenly defensive. I stood. There is something going on between us.
You know what I mean.
The doorbell rang again. I wanted nothing more than to stomp to the front door, swing it open, and tell Dick to take a hike. But Aubrey was looking panicked. I raked my fingers through my hair. What do you want me to do? Slip out the back door? I was being sarcastic, although the way she looked at me told me it was exactly what she wanted. You've got to be kidding me.
I'm sorry. I really am. I just can't let him find you here.
We stared at each other for a long moment. Leaving like this felt monumental to me, like I was the other guy, not Dick. It hurt like hell. But I did what she wanted. Without another word, I left out the back door. I waited by the back window until I saw him inside, then walked around to the front. I couldn't watch from the outside in again. It would kill me. And there was no way in hell I could stick around to possibly watch his car spend the night. So I left. There might have been tire marks on the street outside of her house, but I left. Steamed! I got on the highway and headed back toward Hermosa Beach. It was either that or wallow in my own self-pity with Carla, and I didn't trust myself to stick around at the moment. I made it about an hour before my gas light was flashing. Pulling into the combo rest stop gas station, I parked and leaned my head on the steering wheel for a few minutes. What was I doing? Aubrey was happy. At least she was before I selfishly showed up back in her life. I wanted her to want me back so badly, I questioned if I was seeing something that was no longer there. The hour drive had me flip-flopping back and forth between being certain she only needed time to learn to trust me again and being certain I was doing the wrong thing for sticking around. Just as I was about to get out of the car, the sky opened up. Rain started to team, bouncing off the hot California blacktop, making it steam like dry ice. It was eerie looking, really. Lonely almost. Maybe it was a sign. I jogged into the rest stop, unable to beat the raindrops. My clothes were drenched as I headed to the bathroom. I splashed some water on my face, looked in the mirror, and tried to give myself a pep talk. I couldn't even convince my own sorry ass that everything was going to turn out fine. Yet, I was trying to convince Aubrey. My phone buzzed in my pocket, and for a second, I let my hopes rise. It was a text from my carrier, telling me I'd nearly reached the end of my data plan usage allotment. Now there's a damn sign. I was running out of time. Grumbling to myself, I walked out of the restroom and decided to grab a bite before filling the tank and getting back on the road. I laughed when I saw my choices. Starbucks or Popeye's chicken. It was ironic, really. Perhaps I'd stop in the small gift shop and look for an Obama bobblehead on my way out. I was internally berating myself for being such a pathetic fuckwad. Anxious to get the hell out of there, I ordered some chicken and reached into my pocket for my billfold to pay. Something tumbled from my pocket and clanked loudly on the floor. It was the key Aubrey had given me. I picked it up and closed it into the palm of my hand as I paid for my meal. It hit me then. Here I was looking for a stupid sign, when all along, I'd had the key. Dick rang the bell. They'd been together 7 months, and she hadn't given the princess fucker a key. I'm not the other guy. She just hadn't admitted it to herself yet. Now that was something I could give her a hand in doing.
Chapter 24. Adele was sitting on the couch, with her legs crossed.
So, you're going back tonight?
I nodded. I don't have time to waste. Every second that I'm here,
He's getting more of an upper hand. I just came back to throw my bike into the back of my truck. I wriggled my forehead. She wants me to take her for a ride.
That's great and all. I just hope she's not taking you for a ride.
That's kind of what I've been angling for, sis.
You know what I mean. Stringing you along. The fact that she has a boyfriend who seems like a good guy makes this complicated. She's not going to want to hurt him.
I'm aware this isn't ideal, but here is the key to what I needed to know. I stuck my hand in my back pocket, pulling out Aubrey's house key. Right here.
That's a literal key.
Exactly, I winked. He doesn't have one. She gave one to me. Granted, it was to be able to use the toilet at my leisure while I'm doing her lawn. But what does the fact that he doesn't have one say?
That he's not cutting her grass?
She laughed.
Believe me, I want to think that you're going to get the girl in the end. But the alternative makes me nervous, that's all. What happens then?
Then your dear old broken-hearted brother camps out on his couch, eating a shitload of Tim Tams all day in his pajamas. She threw a pillow at me.
That's what scares me.
You're worried about me. I threw the pillow back. That's cute, but unnecessary.
I really hope you're right.
Back in Temecula, with my bike gassed up, I was anxious to see her. It was Friday afternoon, so she was still in work. Unable to contain my excitement, I sent her a text. Chance. In the mood to straddle me? Aubrey.
Excuse me?
Chance. Get your mind out of the gutter, dirty girl. I brought the Harley back from Hermosa Beach. Care to live out your little biker fantasy with me?
Aubrey. You want to take me out?
Chance. Among other things, yes.
Aubrey. When?
Chance. This weekend sometime, if you're free. I was thinking we could take a little road trip.
Aubrey. The last time I did that with you, it got me into trouble.
Chance. Come on, princess. I'll let you call me Charlie Hummer.
Aubrey. Hunnam, LOL. Charlie Hunnam.
Chance. I like Hummer better.
Aubrey. I'm sure you do, pervert.
Chance. Who's the pervert? I was talking about the vehicle.
What were you talking about?
Better yet. Can you demonstrate?
Aubrey, you're unbelievable.
Chance, are you smiling?
Aubrey, maybe.
Chance, good. So what do you say?
Aubrey, I can't do it tomorrow. What about Sunday?
Not wanting to wait an entire day to spend time with her, disappointment set in. Chance, I happen to be available Sunday.
Aubrey, do I need to bring anything?
Chance, I've got it taken care of.
Aubrey. That scares me.
Chance. LOL. It should.
Aubrey. See you Sunday then.
Chance. What time shall I pick you up?
Aubrey. Noon?
Chance. Sounds good. She didn't respond. I couldn't help sending one last text. Chance. I can't wait. I spent the rest of Friday afternoon and evening preparing for our Sunday trip. First order of business, buying Aubrey a helmet. At the store, I nearly died in laughter when I spotted one that was supposed to look like the green skin of a watermelon. It had a triangle sliced into it that made it appear like a chunk was cut off. I figured she'd kill me if I made her wear that. I settled on a different one that was perfect for her. Not used to riding with anyone. I also adjusted the rear suspension on the bike in preparation for my passenger. Back at the motel, I went online in search of a route that we could take and a good place where we could stop. I found a town called Julian that was about 76 miles away. That would mean about a two-hour ride. It was a mountainous area about an hour east of San Diego and apparently known for its apple pies. Apple pie for my apple-bottomed girl. Julian it was. I kept fantasizing about finding a bed and breakfast there, where we could stay the night, but knew that she would never go for that. So, our destination had to be easily doable in a round trip, getting us back to Temecula
at a decent hour. Sunday finally rolled around. I made sure I pulled out all the stops in looking every bit like Aubrey's biker boy fantasy, wearing a distressed brown leather jacket, blue jeans, and my shiny black helmet. I was ready to claim the only woman I ever wanted on the back of my ride. Charlie Hummer, better watch out. Rather than go to her door, I revved the engine of the bike right in front of her house, prompting her to come outside. The entire neighborhood was now aware of my arrival. Aubrey came out, and it warmed my heart to see her smiling. She was wearing a short, tight black leather jacket that hugged her tits. Fuck me. Her hair was down, and she wore high black leather boots over her jeans. As I held out her helmet, my mouth spread into a huge smile. God, you look fucking hot. She covered her mouth in laughter when she looked down at the pink helmet I'd picked out that had the words Biker Princess etched onto the side.
Biker Princess? Did you have this made?
No. They had it at the bike shop. How perfect is that? It was fate.
What would really be perfect is if yours said, cocky bastard.
She winked. I was thrilled to see that the version of her that showed up today was feisty Aubrey. My dick was even more thrilled. Ready to roll, princess!
Honestly, I'm a little scared. I've never been on one of these in my life.
You know the feeling you have when you're riding in a convertible?
Yeah.
Well, times that by 10. That's what it's gonna be like. Fucking awesome, Aubrey. She still looked nervous. Are you nervous, baby?
I can't help it.
Don't be scared. Just don't let go of me. That's the main thing you have to remember. Please, don't ever let go of me.
Believe me, I won't, she said.
Is that a promise? She blushed, knowing what I was really getting at, and ignored the question. This is my first time too, you know, I said.
What do you mean? You've been on a motorcycle plenty of times.
Yes, but you're the first woman that's ever ridden behind me.
Really?
Really. I'd put the helmet over her head. Here, let me help you. Adjusting the strap, I looked into her beautiful eyes and said, Now, I'm gonna teach you some things before we leave. I read up on some safety stuff.
All right.
She looked adorable with that huge pink helmet on her head. I sat on the bike. Hop on behind me. She did as I said. Wrap your arms around my waist. I stilled for a moment at the feel of them wrapped around me tightly. See what you're doing now? Just keep doing it. Hold on to me as tightly as you can.
Okay.
I looked behind her. Now, this is very important. When I turn a corner, just relax your body. Don't lean against the turn. That's going to be your impulse, but don't do it.
All right. All right.
The other thing is, it's going to be hard for us to hear each other unless we really yell. So if you don't want to scream, and for any reason you need me to stop, just tap me on the shoulder. But that's the only time you're allowed to let go. My rules regarding holding on for dear life were a bit of an exaggeration, but I was going to milk the experience of being close to her for all it was worth. Let's get going. Ready? She shrugged.
As ready as I'll ever be.
I cranked the engine, and we took off down some side roads before entering the highway. Aubrey never did let go, not once. I never imagined how good it would feel to have someone behind me. Well, I suppose it was because it was her behind me. I'd forgotten how much I missed riding, too. That feeling of shifting through the gears, the wind hitting my face, and the sensory overload. It was the next best thing to sex, a feeling of absolute power. Having to focus intently on the road and everything around me brought about a strange sense of calm. As much fun as it was, I was all too aware of how careful I needed to be with Aubrey's life in my hands. Being on a bike makes you overly conscious of your own mortality, particularly when you're on the freeway. Our route alternated between the highway and open country roads that were surrounded by mountains. Even though the scenery was breathtaking, I missed her beautiful face. I couldn't wait to see her all windburned with her hair messed up. One of the most fun parts of the ride for me was trying to communicate with Aubrey. She couldn't really hear what I was saying, so I'd shout things for the fuck of it that I wished I could say to her. We were riding along, almost at our destination, when I shouted, "I can't wait till you sit on my face!"
"What's that?"
I said, "I can't wait to show you this place." Another time it was, "I think we should get married for real."
"What?
Whatever happened to Captain and Tennille?" When we arrived in Julian, Aubrey looked exactly as I expected she would. Her face was red from the wind, her hair wild. It took everything in me not to smash my lips into hers. Shaking out her hair, she asked, "What are we doing first?" I was so fixated on her, the question hadn't immediately registered. "Huh?" She repeated,
"Where are we going?"
"I heard this place is known for their apple pie. Why don't we go find some?"
Aubrey chuckled. "We traveled nearly 2 hours by motorcycle for apple pie?"
"Pretty much, yes."
"Only you would do that. That's one of the things I like most about you. Everything can somehow seem like an adventure, even just getting apple pie."
"Is that a compliment?"
"It is." She flashed the sweetest smile. "And I would love nothing more than to have apple pie with you."
Something had definitely softened her. Maybe it was the ride. That whole experience is very intimate, especially for the passenger, given that you're putting your life in someone else's hands. I guess I impressed her. Score 1, Bateman. Dick, 0. We walked to the Julian Cafe, where they boasted the best apple pie in the entire town. The two of us sat in a cozy corner table up against a brick wall. They served us generous slices of warm apples baked with cinnamon into a buttery crust with dollops of vanilla ice cream on top. They weren't kidding. It was the best I'd ever tasted. At least this day would include something orgasmic. Our conversation started out easy enough. We talked more about the shelter, her plans to convert her guest bedroom into an office, a new type of yoga she was trying. I hoped to God I'd get to reap the benefits of that Sunday. I told her about my brief visit back to Hermosa Beach and my plans to put a small shed on her property to store my garden equipment. Then I sort of went and ruined the mood. "So, where does Dick, Richard, think you are today?"
"Meeting a friend."
I let out a sarcastic laugh. "Okay, stretching the truth just a bit."
"Why is that so funny? Aren't we supposedly trying to be friends? That was your idea."
I use the term friend very loosely, sort of like, oh, I don't know, girlfriend.
"I'm not your girlfriend."
"No, you're my fucking wife."
"Chance?"
"Relax, I'm kidding." "Not really. Look, my point is, you can convince yourself that this is innocent for now. But I doubt Dick would want you spending time with a supposed friend whose ultimate goal is to steal you from him. Said friend also happens to have a key to your place when he doesn't. Don't think I didn't catch that. Make no mistake about it, Aubrey. Stealing you away from him is my ulterior motive, in case I hadn't made that crystal clear. I'm your friend for now. But that's not enough for me. Never will be. I want you beneath me every night and across from me every morning at the breakfast table. Fuck that. I want you for breakfast. I won't be satisfied until I own all of you." Pissed at myself for losing my composure on what was supposed to be a peaceful trip for pie, I pulled at my hair and looked down my empty plate. My voice lowered. "I'm sorry. I just can't fucking pretend." Taken aback, she was quiet, but nodded in understanding.
"It's okay."
After my awkward outburst, we needed a change of scenery. I got up out of my seat. "You want to take a walk around, see the sights, before we head back on the road?"
"I'd love to."
We went for a stroll and ended up stopping inside a small bookstore that also sold trinkets.
Aubrey was eyeing this bracelet that had some Buddhist peace symbol on it. When she became immersed in a Deepak Chopra book, I took one of the bracelets to the register and bought it. Once we stepped outside, I handed it to her. Here, I wanted to get you something so that you remember your first trip by motorcycle. I hope it's not the last.
As if I could ever forget this day, she said. But that was really sweet of you. Thank you. I love it so much.
Oh, no. I saw you looking at it. I was looking at you, because I can't keep my eyes off you, so I put my hands in my pockets and looked around as my words trailed off. She placed it on her tiny wrist.
Maybe this will help channel some much-needed peace in my life.
As we stood there on the sidewalk, it really hit me that this situation was equally hard on her. I spent so much time immersed in my own fears that I had a tendency to forget what all of this might have been like for Aubrey. To have me come back practically from the dead, just when she was getting her life in order, it turned her world upside down. So tempted to hold her hand, I grinded my teeth and refrained. Instead, I said, "Hiking is big around here. If we had more time, we could have stayed at one of the cabins, made a weekend out of it. I know, you have to get back."
"Maybe another time," she smiled.
"Yeah." About an hour later, we were back on the open road. Something about the tone of the ride home was much different than the first trip. As the reddish sun was setting on the horizon, her grip on me had definitely relaxed a bit. We were both quiet, and about halfway through, Aubrey rested her chin on my back. It was a small gesture, but sent what felt like electricity through me. It meant everything. It was easy to envision us taking trips like this every weekend. There was nothing like the feeling of having your woman on the back of your bike. She was my woman. Whether or not I was her man was the question that remained. When we pulled up to her bungalow, the sound of crickets replaced the roaring engine of the bike as I shut it off. We both sat there in silence. She wasn't getting off, and I hadn't let go of my waist, so I didn't move. Finally, she spoke. Her voice was quiet.
"I won't string you along forever, Chance. I promise. It's not fair. I have to figure this out."
I lifted her hands, that were still wrapped around my waist, and clutched them tightly around my chest. "I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, Princess." She let out a deep breath and jumped off the bike while I stayed on. I could see Pixie in the window watching us. Blind goat my ass. I tugged at the front of her leather jacket flirtatiously. "When will I see you again?"
"I'm not sure."
"Think about it."
"Thank you for today. I'll never forget it."
Her last comment didn't sit well in my stomach. "I'll never forget it?" "You did great, Princess. I can't wait to do this again." On the ride home that night, I made a tough decision. I was going to lie low for a bit, give her some space. They say, if you let something go and it doesn't come back to you, it was never really yours to begin with. But considering I was the one who initially left in this situation, all bets were off. Chapter 25. 2 days later, I started to put up the new shed on Aubrey's property. It was going to be nice to be able to keep all of my lawn equipment in one place without having to transport it back and forth. I had to admit, Aubrey must have had the most beautiful garden in all of Temecula by now. It was a particularly hot day, and it became necessary to cool off. Starting to feel dehydrated, I was thinking of calling it a day here. Using my key, I entered the house for a drink and to use the toilet before leaving. Pixie was so used to hearing me come in now, he no longer even flinched when I walked inside. I hadn't texted Aubrey at all since our road trip and had no idea where her head was at. It felt like forever since we'd spoken. My only clues would have been inside of this house, but snooping always made me feel like shit. Thankfully, there was no obvious evidence of Dick having been here in the past couple of days, so that was good. The house was dickless, just the way I liked it. Sweat was dripping off my body as the goat followed me around. I wondered if Aubrey would care if I took a quick shower in her bathroom. Seeing as though I made a vow not to contact her, texting her to check wasn't an option. I couldn't see why it would be a problem, though. You won't tell, will you, Mutton?
Eh!
Good boy. I stripped down and left my dirty clothes in a pile just outside the bathroom. Under the lukewarm water, my thoughts, of course, turned to her. Lathering her fruity soaps and shampoo over me was like bathing in a sea of Aubrey. Sweet, sweet torture. I gripped my cock and started to jerk myself off, but stopped after thinking better of it. Even though the urge was intense, there was no way I was going to be able to finish myself off in her shower. With my luck, I'd accidentally leave a trace of splooge behind. Well, come home, Aubrey. She'd know it was me. That wasn't going to help my cause. Horny as hell, though. I'd definitely need to rub one off back at the motel. As I exited the shower, the bathroom filled with steam. Wiping myself down, I looked in the mirror at my sculpted body and flexed my muscles. Shit, I looked good. With all of the time in the sun and my workouts, my body was truly in the best shape of my life. Sadly, I couldn't even use it on anyone at the moment. Rubbing the towel vigorously over my wet hair, I walked back out into Aubrey's bedroom. A painting on the wall showing a woman with her breasts exposed caught my eye. It wasn't there the last time I was in here. Must have been new. Holy shit. It was classy, but still not something I expected her to have. As I stared up at it, I thought about all the things I never had an opportunity to learn about her. Aubrey was definitely a sexual being, and it made me sad that I never really had a chance to tap more into that side, to push boundaries with her, and take her places sexually that she'd never been. All that we could have done in those 2 years, fuck, I was getting hard again. A bead of pre-cum formed at the tip of my dick. I was really hard up. My body shook at the sound of her voice. She screamed, "Oh my God!" I turned around, exposing my fully hard cock in all of its glory. Shit! I quickly wrapped the towel around my waist to cover my privates. Not only had she seen my ass as she walked in, but also got the full frontal experience when I turned around. She sounded breathless. "What are you doing?" So I was really hot. I needed to cool down. I took a shower. I laughed nervously. "I didn't think you'd mind."
"I guess I don't mind, but Jesus, do you normally just stand there in the middle of the room stark naked staring at the wall?"
"I was staring at your lovely painting, actually." My eyes trailed down the length of her body. She was wearing her workout clothes, a purple sports bra that squished her beautiful tits together, and tight spandex. Dressed like that, she clearly wasn't expecting me to be here this late in the afternoon. I normally didn't stay here so long, but since I'd been building the shed, I lost track of time. She never came home this early.
"Why are you here?" I asked. "Shouldn't I be asking you that? This is my house."
"I know, but you're normally not home until after 5 sometime."
"I had a doctor's appointment, so I didn't go back to the office. I went to the gym instead and came home early to shower."
"I just missed you then. We could have done that together." She rolled her eyes, but cracked a tiny smile. There was nothing hotter than the sight of Aubrey sweaty. My erection was impossible to control, so were my feelings. As I stood there, still wrapped in the towel with my dick protruding through it, I slowly approached where she was standing. Her body stiffened and went into some sort of protective mode. "I've missed you, Aubrey. You could probably tell I've been trying to give you space." Her chest was heaving.
"I know you have. Just not right now, apparently."
"That's right. Not right now." Her eyes lowered to my abs and back up again. She wasn't just sneaking a look at me. She was blatantly checking me out. Her pupils even seemed to dilate. Inching even closer to her, I couldn't help telling her how I felt. You wanted to know why I was staring at the wall? You know what I was thinking about when you walked in?
What?
I was thinking about how you present yourself as this prim and proper girl, but that secretly you're a little minx. That picture on the wall there proves it. You're sexual by nature. Someone who will never be fully satisfied by vanilla things. You're someone who, whether you admit it or not, wants to try everything, push boundaries. I know if we were together, you'd let me do all the things I want to your body, and you'd fucking love it.
What kind of things?
She whispered. Her question surprised me. Good girl, play along, baby. Let's talk about what I'd want to do right now if I could. I want to slowly lick every ounce of salty sweat off your body, starting with those beautiful tits. I'd clean you off with my tongue and fuck you hard until you come even harder with every drop of my cum inside of you, where it belongs. She looked like she was squirming.
What else?
She asked, as she backed away from me, which only made me walk toward her until my face was only inches from hers. Then I'd fuck you all over again with my mouth. I'd love to try eating you out while you take my cock down your throat. I think you'd like that. I want to have you in every way, on top of me, under me, and over my knee with my hand marks in pink on your beautiful pale ass. I can't wait to fuck you again. When I say fuck, I really mean make love hard. Because that's all it could ever be with us, loving hard and fucking hard.
Oh, God,
she muttered, closing her eyes. Capitalizing on her weakness, I pressed my hungry mouth into hers and shamelessly took what I'd been starving to taste for 2 years. She opened for me as my tongue invaded her mouth, searching for hers. The moan she let out seemed to travel down my throat in a straight shot to my dick. She ran her fingers through my wet hair as I backed her into the wall, nearly knocking her lamp off the bedside table. Still, in nothing but a towel, I knew I needed to pull back, but didn't know how. Finally, Aubrey pried herself away from me. Please, stop! In between panting breaths, I shouted, Can't you see how you react to me? Isn't it obvious that we belong together? She walked to the opposite side of the room and started to pace.
Relationships aren't all about sexual chemistry, Chance.
Bullshit! It's extremely important. I don't care how nice of a dick he is. If he doesn't know how to use his dick to please you, he won't keep you happy forever. That's beside the point anyway. You know damn well we have chemistry in every way. It's far more than physical. In fact, the emotional connection between us is what scares you the most. So what's missing here? Trust? Because I'd give you my left arm at this point to prove that you can trust me. She held her hands up and shook her head.
This is too much right now. I wasn't expecting you to be here.
When won't it be too much? Will it ever be the right time? I yelled and immediately regretted having raised my voice. Pixie let out a noise. Bugger was sitting in the corner watching this go down like a movie.
You're scaring him,
she said. If he hasn't fainted, he's fine. She headed for the bathroom, and I trailed behind her. Stop running from me as soon as you start to feel something. I put my hands on her shoulders to stop her. Look at me, princess. She turned around, appearing as if she was about to cry.
What?
Here it was. I knew it was now or never. I shut my eyes, then opened them before taking a deep breath. I love you, Aubrey. Can't you see that? I am head over heels in fucking love with you. I love you more than anything in this entire world. When I look into your eyes, I don't just see you, I see my children. Hell, I see an entire farm of children and deaf, dumb, and blind goats. I see my entire future. Without you, I see nothing. Nothing. Even those 2 years locked up,
Memories of you were what gave me the strength to go on every day. I know you have to resolve things with him, and I don't expect a confirmation right now with me standing here in this towel. I'll wait. In the meantime, I'm here. You have me. The question is, do you want to keep me, or will you throw me away? When she opened her mouth, what came out was the last thing I ever expected.
Richard told me some time ago that the firm is dissolving and closing up shop by the end of the year. He was offered a position at a Boston patent law firm as a partner there. I just found this out yesterday. He wants to try to hire me. Either way, he asked me to go with him.
Adrenaline rushed through me as my body was gearing up for a fight. I swallowed the massive lump in my throat. When does he leave?
A teardrop fell down her cheek. 2 weeks.
Chapter 26. I barely slept after the bomb Aubrey dropped last night. I knew I was starting to get to her, although she was still fighting it. 2 weeks was not a lot of time to gain back her trust, but what choice did I have at this point? 13 days. I picked up my cell phone and stared at the time. The damn minutes seemed to tick away faster than they ever had. In prison, waiting for a day to pass seemed like an eternity. Yet now, it felt like the hands on the clock were spinning at warp speed. I buzzed by Starbucks, picked up a coffee, and paid for Aubrey's. I also ordered an apple fritter and gave Melanie instructions to warm it for my girl before she gave it to her. I hoped it would subliminally remind her of our bike excursion for apple pie. My brain was still frazzled, and I needed to work off the growing feeling of frustration, so I headed to the gym. It was noon by the time I finally made my muscles burn enough to think about something other than 13 days. Not knowing what else to do with myself, I headed to Aubrey's with a dozen more flats of flowers. It was busy work, and in only 2 weeks' time, someone else could be appreciating the garden. But I couldn't let myself think about that now. I was coming from the backyard with a wheelbarrow full of mulch when I saw Dick pull up outside of Aubrey's. He looked right at me, and I had no desire to hide anymore anyway. Maybe the princess fucker wouldn't recognize me shirtless and sweaty. I continued down the driveway as he approached. "Mr. Bateman?" He squinted, clearly confused by my appearance. "That's me. What can I do for you? What are you doing here?" I looked down at the wheelbarrow and back up at Dick with a face that said, "Can't you figure that shit out for yourself?" "Planting flowers," I shrugged.
"I can see that. But why are you here planting flowers?"
"I guess that would be because Aubrey likes flowers, something you obviously didn't know or give a shit about, seeing as what the place looked like when I first arrived." Dick folded his arms over his chest.
"I thought you were going back to Australia."
My jaw clenched. I was torn between telling off the asshole for not taking care of Aubrey's property and punching him in the face for trying to take the woman I loved away. Just then, Aubrey's car turned the corner. No matter how bad I wanted to ruin things, I couldn't do it to her.
"Oh," I nodded my head as if something just dawned on me. "You must think I'm my brother, Chance."
"Excuse me?"
"Chance. He's the better-looking brother for sure. But we're identical twins. I'm Harry." I extended my hand. He was skeptical for a moment, but the dumb bloke fell for my line of shit easy enough. My hand was hot, sweaty, and dirty. The suit-wearing snob looked like he wanted to find somewhere to wipe off his hand after we shook. Not used to man hands, are you, Dick?
"Well, that explains it, then. Your brother was a client of Aubrey's. I met him in the office."
"Yes, I referred him to Aubrey. There's no one else that the Bateman brothers would allow to touch their Tockley except Aubrey."
"Pardon?
Tockley. It's an Australian term for important paperwork." He nodded and looked over at the curb as Aubrey parked. Dumb fuck. Suck my Tockley.
Now that I wasn't supposed to know who he was, I could screw with the guy a bit. So, what do you think of the place? Coming along really well, don't you think? Place was a real mess when I got here. I'm surprised Aubrey doesn't have a man around the house to take care of things properly.
Dick cleared his throat. She does. Just not one who has the time or inclination to do this sort of work.
That's a shame. Aubrey could use a man that takes care of all her needs.
Dick narrowed his eyes at me. As Aubrey rushed from her car, she looked pale and frazzled.
You didn't tell me Mr. Bateman's brother was your landscaper,
Dick said to Aubrey.
Brother?
Aubrey looked to me, and I grinned.
I thought Harry here was Chance when I pulled up.
Then, the idiot added, now I can see the difference, of course. Twins always look different around the eyes.
Harry?
Aubrey's panic face cracked a tiny smile.
I spoke to Dick. Aubrey calls me Harrison. She's a stickler for proper names, isn't she?
He ignored my comment. I got the feeling this tool ignored anyone who wasn't wearing a suit. Instead, he spoke to her.
I was just about to tell Harry that his services are no longer going to be needed, seeing as we'll be heading to Boston soon enough.
Aubrey spoke quietly.
That's not decided yet.
I told you, it's just a formality. I've already spoken to the partners. They want you.
Dick put his hand on the small of Aubrey's back. I was barely able to stop myself from physically removing it.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Bateman.
He didn't bother to look at me.
We better grab that file, sweetheart, or we'll be late for the deposition.
Aubrey nodded. She looked back over her shoulder twice before disappearing into the house. A few minutes later, they came out together again. Dick nodded at me, and Aubrey looked down as they passed. I had started to dig a hole to put flowers in when they went inside, but I'd forgotten to stop. I now had a waist-deep crater. I couldn't look over at the curb as they got into their cars. My restraint was hanging on by a thread. One car pulled away. Not hearing the second start, eventually I looked out to the street. Dick was gone, but Aubrey was still sitting in her car. Her head was leaning against the steering wheel. I walked over and got into the passenger seat. Neither of us said a word for a minute.
What am I supposed to do?
She eventually whispered. I blew out a heavy stream of air.
Do what's in your heart, Aubrey.
If that's not being with me, it will suck. I'm not going to lie. But I want you to be happy. That's how I'm sure I'm in love with you. If the choice is you being happy or me, there is no choice. You come first. She shook her head.
I believe you, you know.
I took her hand from the steering wheel and lifted it to my lips, kissing the top.
You should, because I mean it. There's nothing I won't do for you, princess.
She smiled. It was a step in the right direction. She believed me.
I better go. We have a deposition in 15 minutes across town, and I've been so preoccupied I didn't even realize that the file was at home.
I opened the car door. If we had more time, I would have preferred to leave things for today, but 13 days. I had to ask. Come home with me this weekend.
Chance?
I know. But I don't have the luxury of time any more. You have a decision to make, and Dick gets you all the time. I want to take you home with me, show you what our life can be like. No crazy road trips, no interruptions, just me and you. Give me a fair shot if you're making this choice.
I told you I can't be with you like that.
Richard is a good man. It wouldn't be fair to cheat on him. Our kiss the other night was bad enough.
Bad? I thought it was pretty fucking phenomenal.
That's not what I meant, and you know it.
Fine. I won't touch you. Sexually, I mean. I won't.
She looked at me like she didn't believe my intentions were genuine.
Trust me. You have my word. I will not lay a finger on you in a sexual way.
It looked like she was considering it. I probably should have just kept my mouth shut,
but I wouldn't be me if I did. And when you make a move on me, I'll refute it. Her eyebrows jumped.
When?
That's right. When?
Pretty sure of yourself, aren't you, Cocky?
She had no idea how much hearing her call me Cocky did for me. I am. Sounds like the only one that can't control themselves is you.
I can absolutely control myself around you.
I leaned in. Then come with me. Give me a weekend before you decide. Please. She looked torn.
Let me think about it.
That was better than a no. All right.
I really better go now.
I exited the car and stood next to it as she started the engine. Right before pulling away, she rolled down the window.
Nice name, by the way.
Then she disappeared. It was the end of the second day since I'd spoken to Aubrey on her front lawn, and I still hadn't heard from her. 11 days! Time was ticking, and there wasn't shit I could do about it, except get drunk. It was a distinct possibility that I might have drank more sitting at that little bar across the street from the motel than I had in the last 5 years of my life. Carla Babes, hit me up again.
Don't you think you've had enough hot stuff?
My brain was still working. Nope, not even close. I held up the glass and clanked the ice around. She took it, filled it with what I suspected from the color was pure club soda, and then proceeded to come around the other side of the bar and sit next to me. It was nearly closing time, and I had been sitting on that stool for close to 6 hours. We were the only two left in the bar. Carla waited until I looked her straight in the eyes before she spoke.
She's an idiot. You're a great guy. I don't even have to know Dick in order to be certain she's making a big mistake. And it's not just because you're hot as fuck and have a body I'm pretty sure matches that perfect face. It's because you're committed.
I scoffed. I should be committed, all right.
I mean it, Chance. If a guy put in half the effort you do, I'd be impressed. You're willing to lay it all out there day after day, even knowing that she could very well stomp on your heart.
Thanks, Carla Babes.
No problem, but it's the truth. Plus, I've watched a dozen women try to pick you up in this place, and you never once even gave it any real thought. Considering you haven't been late in over 2 years, that's a feat unto itself.
11 days. I suppose I might have to figure out how to get back in the saddle after all, if things don't pan out.
I tell you what, closing time in 11 days. Things don't work out. You meet me right here. I'd be honored to help you out with that. No talking, no strings. We'll just walk across to your room, and I'll let you ride all your frustrations away, cowboy.
You'd do that for me, Carla Babes?
For you? I've thought about doing that to you since the day you walked in the door.
She gave me a quick kiss on the lips and sent me packing. Chapter 27. The next morning I overslept and had to rush to Starbucks. It was almost 9 when I got there, and the line was longer than usual. I hadn't yet checked my phone, so I powered it on as I waited for my turn to order. The damn thing started to buzz in my hand. I got excited when I saw a new text arrived.
Aubrey. Okay. Friday, 6 p.m. I'm yours for the weekend.
I let out a deep breath. It felt like I'd been holding it for days. Melanie called my name as I continued to stare down at my phone.
Two coffees?
I couldn't stop smiling. You bet.
And what will Aubrey be having for breakfast this morning?
I leaned back and looked in the case. I'll take 2 of those chocolate chip muffins, an iced lemon pound cake, 3 of those salted caramel pecan squares, an oatmeal cookie, and 1 of those fancy yogurt parfaits you have there. Melanie looked at me like I was nuts. At that point, I pretty much had lost my mind, so she wasn't too far off.
You want those all in a box? They're all for Aubrey?
Yup. I paid and glanced at the time on my phone.
She usually didn't come by until 9:30. Mel, hold my coffee. I'll be right back, okay? I hauled ass to the florist I'd been eyeing a few doors down and came back with a gigantic bouquet. It was bordering on ridiculous, but I didn't care. Aubrey was going to be mine for a weekend. This was cause for celebration. Melanie smiled at me so big I could see her full mouth of teeth, top and bottom. Can you give her these with breakfast today?
Of course.
I parked my truck around the corner and stood in the doorway a few stores down from Starbucks. If I wasn't on such a high, this new stalking technique might have felt a little creepy. Right at 9:30, Aubrey walked out of Starbucks with a box and the giant flowers. She was sporting the hugest smile. I stood there for another 10 minutes. Eventually, another text came. Aubrey.
Was I especially hungry this morning?
Chance. Sorry. I got carried away. We're celebrating.
Aubrey. What are we celebrating?
Chance. You. Coming home with me this weekend. My phone went quiet. A few minutes later, it buzzed again. Aubrey.
I'm nervous. I'm not sure it's a good idea.
So am I. But I wasn't about to admit that. The consequences of blowing this were too much to even consider. Chance, trust me. Please. A few minutes later, a final text came in. Aubrey.
Okay.
I arrived at her place Friday at 6, ready for our weekend. I knocked, and she came to the door, looking almost exactly like a recurring fantasy I'd had of her over the last 2 years. She was wearing a tight white tank top, tiny white shorts, and had on a pair of silver sandals. It was a particularly humid day, and her hair was down and wilder than usual. Trust me? That was the promise I'd made to her. Fuck!
What's wrong?
She'd noticed the worry on my face.
Are we taking the motorcycle after all? Do I need to change?
No. Yes, no. Her brows drew down, so I explained. No, we're not taking the motorcycle. Yes, you need to change. She looked down at her outfit.
What's wrong with what I'm wearing?
Absolutely nothing. It's perfect.
But...
I raked my fingers through my hair. Except that I have this recurring fantasy of you wearing all white. She smiled.
That's sweet. Like I was an angel?
My mouth spread into a wicked grin.
Not exactly.
Her cheeks blushed.
Oh.
I chuckled. You don't have to change, but you should know. If I'm quiet on the ride to my place, it's because I'm replaying that fantasy over and over in my mind. I winked. There was a red suitcase next to the door, so I grabbed it.
I just need to get my purse.
Mutton was rubbing at my leg, wanting attention. And Mutton's leash. I don't have a big yard like you. We'll have to walk him.
Aubrey turned around. You want to bring Pixie?
Of course. We're a family. It was like the damn goat understood what we were talking about. He nuzzled into my hands and let out a soft,
"Bee."
That's right, buddy. It's just going to be me and you and Mommy. I scratched the top of his head. You like that, don't you?
All set.
Aubrey returned with her purse and the leash.
I just need to stop at Philomena's and tell her she doesn't need to take care of Pixie.
Philomena's?
My neighbor. She takes care of Pixie when I work late sometimes. When I went over to ask her to take care of him yesterday, she raved about my gardens. She said she would love to steal you from me. Then she went on a tirade about the mailman delivering her 4 magic bullets that she didn't order and insisted I take one home with me.
Aubrey pointed to an unopened box on the counter.
She's a bit on the odd side, but very nice.
Magic bullet? Is that like your magic wand? You're still playing with that?
No, it's a blender for smoothies.
It was normally a 2-hour drive from Temecula to Hermosa Beach, but the rush hour traffic made it almost double that. I didn't give a shit, though. The sun was shining, I was free, and my girl was coming to my place for the weekend. Since I couldn't do what I really wanted to do with her, I decided to show Aubrey what a normal weekend with us together would be like.
We both knew we had chemistry, but something told me one of the things holding her back aside from trust was she wasn't convinced we had more than chemistry. Adele was still at my place when we arrived. She pretended to have been running late, but I knew she really wanted to meet Aubrey.
"Sorry, I was hoping to be at Harry's by the time you got home. I was just cleaning up a bit."
Aubrey looked at me in disbelief.
"Harry?"
I shit you not. First day out, I come home and find some bloke in his boxers ironing at my kitchen counter. He tells me his name is Harry. Aubrey and I both laughed. Adele didn't get the joke, but was smiling from ear to ear anyway. My sister extended her hand.
"I'm so glad to meet you, Aubrey. I've heard so much about you."
Aubrey and Adele stared at each other for a long moment. I had no idea what was going on, but something strange seemed to be taking place. Then the two practically collided, wrapping each other in their arms for a hug. It was like they were long-lost best friends. They didn't let go for the longest time. Watching it, I became a bit choked up. Both women had tears in their eyes when they separated. I heard my sister whisper,
"We both lost a lot. I'm finding my way back. I hope you do too."
I cleared my throat and hugged my sister goodbye a few minutes later. She was carrying an overnight bag to spend the weekend at Harry's.
"I stocked the cabinets with your essentials."
"Snags, Tim Tams, and Pixie Sticks?"
"Of course, and I got this guy here some treats too."
She gave Pixie a good rub before leaving. When it was just the two of us, I gave Aubrey a tour. My place was an old converted warehouse. It had high ceilings and a wide open floor plan. There were three bedrooms, but I'd converted one into an art studio. My sister was using the other one since she came to stay with me. When I told her Aubrey would be staying in the guest room, she sounded like she didn't believe me, but prepped it for a guest nonetheless. I stopped at my bedroom first. "This is our bedroom. Chance? I know, not tonight. But if we decide to live down here near the beach, this will be our room." The fucked up thing was, I already thought of it as our bedroom.
"It's very nice. Is that a Klimt painting?"
I smiled. "Love my dirty girl."
"It is. It's the Three Ages of Women. See? We have a lot in common. We both like women's breasts in paintings. Although, when we're in here, I won't notice anything but those babies." My eyes pointed to her great rack. "You're a perv. And you love it." I gave her the rest of the tour, regretfully dropping her bag in the guest room. The last room on the tour was my art studio. I hadn't made anything in a long, long time. There were canvas drop cloths covering most projects I was working on before my life became a clusterfuck. I flicked on the light and meant to pass the room right by, but Aubrey wandered inside.
"Did you make that?"
She pointed to a large motorcycle, made of recycled parts. It had been in a few art shows, but now there was an inch of dust covering it. "I did."
"Wow, it's incredible."
She walked around, inspecting it carefully.
"Everything on here is junk."
"I don't use any purchased materials, only recycled objects that I find."
"You're really good. I'm not sure what I expected, but this seems to tell a story."
I smiled. Of course, she totally got it. I always felt every individual piece that I collected could tell a different tale. The way they all blended together was sort of like reading a book to me. I walked around to the other side of the bike and pointed to a few different things, telling her where each piece had come from. If it were possible, I felt just a little more for her right then. That night, we ordered in Chinese food and ate straight from the cartons. Aubrey fell asleep with her head on my lap as we watched a movie. Keeping to my word, I covered her with a blanket and went to my own bed to sleep. The next morning she was still sleeping when I slipped out to take Pixie for a walk, but she was awake when I walked in carrying two coffees and an assortment of overpriced crap from Starbucks. "Morning!" She sat up on the couch and stretched her arms over her head.
Her shirt pulled up, exposing her beautiful soft skin. I wanted to fucking bite it. I had to turn the other way.
You get some strange-ass looks when you walk a goat.
Aubrey chuckled. Yeah, I know. She came into the kitchen and sat on a stool on the other side of the island.
Let me ask you something. This promise I stupidly made, it only includes touching. I can say whatever I want, right?
She sipped her coffee. I'm afraid to say yes.